If you would please, in your Bibles. This is the third time that we have been in the book of Philippians in the last few weeks. In verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2, a couple of weeks ago, we preached to you on the plan for oneness in the church. This past Wednesday evening, we looked at the paradigm of servanthood in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Today, fittingly, I would like to speak to you on the preeminence of Christ in verses 9, 10, and 11. The preeminence of Christ. And I encouraged you, especially last Wednesday, to not lose sight of the intent of the apostle here, Paul, in encouraging or exhorting the church to be one. And that is the intent of these verses. And I said, even though we can look at verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 and proclaim the majesty and the wonder of God and the Lord Jesus Christ in His humiliation, really the point is, let this mind be in you. Well, it seems almost as if Paul is breaking my rule here in verses 9, 10, and 11. Because this is so much focused on the exaltation of Christ. Now, I still believe that in the big picture, he's trying to help a church out. And perhaps when we come back this coming Wednesday night, Lord willing, and finish this up, we can kind of reflect back on this exaltation of Christ and how it should impact us practically and every day as the body of Christ. But until then, we're going to look this morning at the preeminence, the exaltation of Christ. He says, wherefore, looking back here, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How packed full are those three verses with the glory of Christ? And I would like to show, just take each verse and look first of all at the seat of His exaltation or the basis cause of His exaltation. As we say in verse 9, that first word, wherefore, similar, not the same, but similar to the word in verse 1, therefore. Each are pointing us back to what Paul has already said. And the seat this morning of the exaltation of Christ is found in the humiliation of Christ. You see, after being made lower than the angels, He is now crowned with glory and honor. Psalm 8, 5 and 6. After He suffered these things, He entered into His glory. Luke chapter 24, verse 26. After He bore the harsh judgment of God for sin, He has been given authority to execute judgment. John chapter 5, verse 27. He was numbered among the dead, that being raised from the dead, He might be the Lord of the dead. Chapter 14 of the book of Romans, verse 9. The worm and reproach of Psalm 22 has now become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The back that was once given to the smiters has been made the strength of His people. The head that was smitten by sinners has bruised the serpent's head and has been raised the great head of the church. He is the head of the body. Colossians 1:18. The visage that was so horribly marred has become that darling of the saints who long to see His face. I'm speaking this morning of the exalted, the highly exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Do you long to see His face? He who became poor that we might become rich has now been given the nations for His inheritance. That tender plant out of a dry ground without form or comeliness has become the fragrant and beautiful lily of the valley. Praise His name. The man of sorrows, from whom we hid our faces, has been raised the highly esteemed, highly exalted. Having been made like us, living like us, dying like us, the captain of our salvation is now raised, ascended, seated, interceding, preeminent, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's preeminent. That spotless lamb, that sheep who opened not His mouth, enduring the cross, the pain, the death, is now that conquering and reigning Lamb of glory, that precious Lamb of glory. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints." The seat of His exaltation was His humiliation. The basis for His exaltation, His being highly exalted, is the death that He died, that cup that He drank, cross that He bore. In verse 9 again, the second word is God. God. And there is the source of His exaltation. God has exalted Him. No, God has highly exalted Him. God has highly exalted Him. I like that. I like the neatness of that. I like what it speaks broadly, but it's confined in that He hasn't exalted anyone else. He exalted His Son highly. God has exalted Him. It is Elohim, that covenant-keeping God that we learned about last week, who from the foundation of the world agreed with Himself. Elohim, remember, plural, that Godhead of which Christ is the fullness. He has agreed with Himself to condescend to fallen man. We sing out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Only His great eternal love made my Savior go. Source of His exaltation is God. God has exalted Him. The great God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am, who would be the Redeemer of His own, has exalted Him. The great God, the omnipotent El Shaddai, who had the power to lay down His life and the power to take it back up again. He is highly exalted. God has. Well, I'm not sure if I want to. Doesn't matter. God already has. Well, I don't have to because I don't believe God already has. God is exalted. Not God will, God has. Highly. But where do I fit in? He's allowed us to be a part. We can exalt Him today as His people. What a wonder. What a glorious thought that we're even allowed to worship Him. You realize what your sin did to him? You know, I would say that to you who perhaps are struggling with your idea of salvation, whether or not you have it, back and forth. Well, I don't know if I was sincere enough. I don't know if I'm the elect. I get in trouble for saying it, but I tell the sinner, forget that. Forget about election. Forget about it. You're not going to understand it. In fact, some of us who are saved are still trying to understand it. Listen, sinner, do you have any idea what your sin did to him? Listen, saint of God, do you realize how big and mighty His grace is to allow us to worship Him? He's exalted. He is exalted. He has been exalted by God Himself, the source of His exaltation. God has exalted Him. That speaks of God's purposes for Him, does it not? It's about the Father's will. I delight to do Thy will. Psalm 40, verse 8. Oh, my God, yea, Thy law is within my heart. How many times did Jesus say, I came to do the will of my Father? God has exalted Him. This speaks of God's purposes for Christ, the Lord Jesus, His Son. It's about the Father's work. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Jesus finished the work of God. It's about the Father's commandment. In John 14, Jesus says this, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. God has exalted Him. This speaks of God's purposes, the Father's purposes for the Son. It speaks of God's pleasure in the Son. That unique and almost unsearchable relationship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost from all eternity. That fellowship. He says, as we read earlier, Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. What think you of Christ this morning? What think you of Christ? Troubled me a bit as we were standing, holding signs and they were very quick. There were, I think, five of us, maybe six, and we had boom, 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 you know, quick gospel message. And most people who responded was with a thumbs up or a honk of the horn and a wave, but there are always those, it seems, one or two that drive by and either have some profane thing to say or have their thumbs down. And that one guy drove by this past week, a week before last, with his thumb down. And it hurt. Because the question really is not what he thought about us standing out there, or our church, or Baptists, or those who name the name of Christ. The question for that man is, what think ye of Christ? What think you? Our Lord Jesus Christ, whether the world accepts it or not, did not begin in Bethlehem. He had glory with the Father as the Son before the world began. And while that is a bit of contention among many, doesn't change a thing. It is about God's pleasure in His Son. God has exalted Him. The delight of the Father, we read in Proverbs. Pleased by the obedience of the Son. He that sent me is with me, Jesus says. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. The Father was pleased in the obedience of the Son. Now He's highly exalted. You see, in God's exalting His Son, we're speaking of God's purposes for His Son. Speaking of God's pleasure in His Son. And we are speaking of God's promotion of His Son. It is popular today for any type of government overseen mention of God to leave Jesus out of it. Have you noticed that? Or you can pray before Congress, but don't say Jesus. Or at least that's the way it would like for many would like for it to be. The chaplaincy in the armed forces is coming under intense scrutiny about Jesus. Why? Because if you say Jesus is the way, the only way, the only name, well, that's discriminatory against too many people and too many gods and too many religions. Let's fold it up and go to the house. Frankly, that's the way we'd say it back home. Let's go to the house if Jesus is not the only way. But no, God has exalted Him. And it is about God's promotion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has highly exalted Him. May this church always... Young people, when you are preaching up here, are you in charge of something or you have some sway in this church? We're dead and gone. Maybe our grandchildren may Community Baptist Church always preach Jesus Christ. So why wouldn't we? Because men don't like it. We preach Christ high and lifted up. We cannot help but see ourselves and say, woe is me. Not popular to preach Christ. It almost seems hard to fathom that those who would name the name of Christ are uncomfortable preaching the name of Christ. May our preaching, may our thoughts, our songs, our prayers, our lives be forever Christ-focused. It is about God promoting the Lord Jesus Christ, and so should we. Kiss the Son, He tells us in Psalm 2. Kiss the Son. He says, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. Hear Him. It is He who, as Gil said, we read earlier, He spoke like no other man spoke. And that indeed was the reaction of those Jewish leaders and the tradition-based and skewered, diluted Jews of the time of Christ. Here comes Jesus and He speaks. And as we've seen already in the book of John, they didn't get angry with Him for turning the water into wine. And they did get angry with Him somewhat for healing on the Sabbath. But when He spoke, that's when things changed. That's when the ire was fomented. That's when death became the aim of those who heard. Thought it was interesting in John 6 when Jesus has so much to say. And yet, It was what he said about being from the Father that really offended them. He goes on in John chapter 6, which we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. He says, I am. I am. And it was at that point that many of his disciples turned. Why? Because of what he said. Because of what he said. God says, the Father says, in highly exalting the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. I think of that butcher, Saul of Tarsus, a monster, had his plans, hated the things of Christ, thought he was doing God's service in some warped way of thinking, and he was met on the road to Damascus, and he heard the words, I am Jesus. Hear Him. The exaltation of Christ is about God's promotion of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. That's God speaking, speaking of His Son, highly exalting Him. Thirdly, we take a look at that word, highly, and some others to follow, and we see the scope of His exaltation. Highly exalted literally means super, eminently exalted. That means to exalt to the highest rank and power, raised to supreme majesty. We who are God's people should rejoice this morning that we worship the God, not a God. If it was just a God, then there may be one that's supremer. Supremer. Just thought I'd see if you were listening this morning. There's no God more supreme. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been highly exalted. Eminently exalted. We serve the God. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, telling the Ephesians of this, says he's exalted him far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world which is to come. Above. He's lifted His name above. Christ is exalted above, above the power of Satan. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Above the power of man. Above the power of death. Unshaken by the kingdoms of this world. Unchanged by the God-denying fool. The fool says there is no God, but Jesus is still exalted. The fool says Jesus was just a man, but His tomb is empty this morning. The fool says Jesus was no better than Muhammad. But listen, Muhammad is in hell right now, and the highly exalted Jesus Christ put him there. He's highly exalted. Without limit in His purposes to redeem His people. May I say this? We may agree or disagree in end times matters. You may call yourself pre or post or mid or ah or or you know all those things. One thing I would encourage you to be is optimistic that there is nothing that's going to thwart the purposes of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's highly exalted and He is redeeming a people for Himself. But what about when I watch the news? Don't. Don't listen to those lies. You realize what God is doing in China right now? Look it up. Ask Paul Brown this morning if he gets down when he watches CNN. Paul and Susan Brown have immersed themselves in the proclamation of the gospel, knowing that God will not be thwarted. He's without limit. He's without threat in His kingdom's realm. He is highly exalted to supreme majesty, super eminently exalted. He is the Lord, high and lifted up. He is the Lord seated in the heavens. He is the Lord of glory. That is the scope of His exaltation. Not only that, God, in verse 9, has given Him a name which is above every name. He's given Him a name which is above every name. Now, it might seem obvious to you that verse 10 answers my next question. And that question being, what name is it? What is the name that God has given Him? Verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus. There's your answer, right? Well, it could be read as this, that at the name that He has given Jesus, Jesus itself, the name, was not above other names. There were other people named Jesus. There are still other men today. I watched a guy a little bit of football yesterday, and his name was Jesus. That name had been and does continue to be used by men. Is that the name that Paul is talking about? Could be, because it does bring with it more than just a name. Jesus, we saw last hour, Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. Is that the name that's above every name? Could be. Is it Emmanuel? God with us? Is that the name above every name? Could be. Is it the Christ? What does that mean? It means the anointed one. It means the Messiah. Is that the name of Jesus that's above every name? Is it Lord? Well, I believe in Jesus. Is He your Lord? Master? Is that the name that is above every name? What about Son of God? Is that the name Paul was referring to? Some people believe so. Son of God. Only begotten. Son of God. What is the name that is above every name? Is it Great God and Savior, as we read last hour? Could be. Is it the Word? In the beginning was the Word. Revelation 19 says, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Is that the name above every name? Could be. What about King of Kings? He sure is. Lord of Lords. That seems to imply a name above every name, doesn't it? He hath on His vesture, still in Revelation, and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is His name wonderful? Yes. Counselor? Yes. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, that's Him. That's Him. That's His name. Those are His names. Which is it? Are we even to know? Still in Revelation, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. Now listen, and He had a name written that no man knew, but He Himself. Are we to know this name that Paul talks about? Can we really know this name? Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? If you're not careful, you'll get a glimpse of just how small we are in this whole grand scheme of things. Who hath gathered the wind in His fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What's His name? What's His Son's name? If thou canst tell. Do we know it? Can we even know it? Are we to know that name in its fullness? Maybe. Think about this. While we have all of these names and they all speak and exalt Him and are right, maybe not now, but one day when we see Him face to face, one day maybe we will hear a name we haven't heard before. No doubt, we will see Him in His glory like we've never seen Him before. There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Then, you see, we'll see Him as He is. Then, we'll see the great King in His beauty. Then, we will have laid aside forever those sins that beset us. Those sins that dim our view of Him. Then those things which were unlawful for Paul to discuss. Remember, he was caught up to the third heaven. He couldn't talk about it. Those things which caused Isaiah to cry out. Those visions which troubled and grieved the prophet Daniel. Those which caused John to fall as dead will be ours to behold for all of eternity. And we forever will worship the One whose name is above every name. Scope of His exaltation. He's highly exalted. His name is above every name. It reaches to every creature, to all creation, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That is the name of Jesus. It reaches to His creation. It reaches to every creature. I remember seeing a billboard, a placard held up, a sign held up by a demonstrator. Anti-God, atheist. And this woman had a sign that said, "This knee will never bow." And I thought, oh yes, it will. It will. I will not
you will. Why? Because God has exalted him.
I will not bow. I saw a Facebook post recently that said, Jesus hasn't saved me, not that I'm asking. I will not. Yes, you will. The Jews said, we will not have this man to rule over us. Yes, they will. Every knee will bow. Of things in heaven, things in heaven. Saint of God, worship the one who is seated in heaven. Worship him. Worship him. We've been told recently, worship is the key. You wake up in the morning, worship him. Well, I need to read three chapters. When you wake up in the morning, worship him. Open your Bible and worship him. Well, if I don't pray, if I don't run down the list, God's not going to be happy with me. I'm going to have a bad day. If I have a flat tire, I look back and say, well, I didn't pray enough. Well, listen, worship him, saint of God. Worship him. Dear sinner, your knees will bow to the Lord. If not in this life, in the next. If not in these days of grace, in these days of gospel preaching, they will at the judgment. I'll live my life like I want. Yes, and then you'll die, which is appointed. And then after that, what? The judgment. And then your knees will bow. May I plead with you, dear sinner, bow your knees now. Bow to him now. He's highly exalted. He's worthy of our worship. Of things in heaven, of things in earth. Child of God, your life here on earth is not your own. Glorify him. Bow your knee to him. Your life on earth. So, well, Jesus saved us so we could go to heaven. True, that's not all. If he had wanted only to take us to heaven, then as soon as he saved us, he would have taken us to heaven. Jesus saved us so that we would glorify him on this earth and take us to heaven later. You see, you're here. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. Well, I'm here, ain't I? I came. Now, I'm talking about Monday. I'm talking about glorifying him on the workplace. I'm talking about glorifying him when it's just you and your family. And the old man's, he just kind of tends to rise up. And you know what I'm talking about. Glorify him. Bow the knee to him on earth. The things of earth. He doesn't care about the things of earth. Yes, he does. He cares about you. He cares about the decisions you make. He's involved. This has been a lesson for me personally over the years. I was under the preaching of a man who was somewhat of a mystic and the things about jobs and houses and health and these things were, they really didn't matter to God, according to this man. Oh, they do matter. Worship him. Bow the knee to him regarding the things of this earth. And I would ask you, beg you, I should say, dear child of Satan, The God of this world offers nothing good for you. You have no future with Him. There's nothing good ahead. If you've chosen just to be His, to live in darkness, there is nothing good coming. The God of this world has blinded men. Would you bow the knee to Christ now? Then he goes on to say of things under the earth. Every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Every knee should bow. We're talking about the scope of his exaltation. It reaches heaven. It is here on earth. It reaches hell. The scope of his exaltation. I don't understand it. Please don't come up to me later and ask me to explain it. God is getting glory, not only heaven, but in hell. God will get glory. Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. Things above, things here, things below. Dear Christian, rejoice that this life is not the end. Now, if we don't have hope anywhere beyond this life, Paul says, we're miserable. Our hope extends beyond this life. It extends beyond death and hell and the grave. And these things have no power over you who are His, who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. But listen, dear lost man, could I ask you to listen to the words from under the earth? Listen to the words from under the earth. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. He goes on later to say, I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them this, lest they also come into this place of torment. The words from below, from under the earth say, this place is torment. This place is hell. This place is a fire that is not quenched. And they go on to utter, don't come here. Don't come here. Listen, sinner, please. Don't go to hell. Don't do that. Every tongue, lastly, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the tongues are going to confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. This fact is without dispute. He is Lord. Well, he's not my Lord. He is Lord. Without dispute. He is highly exalted with the name above all others. He has come to seek. Watch out. He has come to seek and to save sinners. He's come that we might have life. He's taking many sons to glory. Will you hear the gospel? Will you believe? Will you confess? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So I struggle with my salvation, Brother Russ. I remember praying in my bedroom one night when I was 9, and I asked the Lord to save me, and have you confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord? Confess Him. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Something about this confession in salvation and in glorification, it's real. Have you confessed Him? Thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to, and we wind it up here, the glory of God the Father. This too is an immutable reality. God will be glorified. He is glorified in His Son. He is glorified in His people. He is glorified as we worship Him. He is glorified by His Word, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And He, listen, is glorified when a sinner repents and comes to Him through the name of Jesus. That name which is above every name. God gets glory when the sinner comes. God gets glory when the sinner repents. God gets glory when the sinner throws his hands up and says, Lord, help me lest I perish. There's no salvation in any other name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent. He is highly exalted. Those of you who know Him, let's worship Him. Those of you that don't, listen, you will confess. Your knee will bow. Why not now? Father, I thank You this morning for that name above all names. And yet, Father, my heart is heavy when I think of those who still refuse to come. Would You open eyes this morning? Would You bring conviction, Holy Spirit of God, so strong, so irresistible, that lost sinner would come to You before it's too late. Bless Your people, dear Father. May we worship You, glorify You, bow our knees to You, confess You each day as highly exalted and worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.